Well, hey, everyone. Welcome to this week's show. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson, and we are headed into the summer here. My favorite season of the year, even though it's hot. But in Colorado, it's not humid, so it's all good. But we love being with you here at The Boundless Show. Hopefully you join us every week and that you are telling your friends about the show. We love it when you do. For this week's show, later on, we have Candace here, who's going to be answering our inbox question this week from a girl who has been told that she should dress to impress guys. And so she wants to know, what is up with that? Is that like realistic or is that just wrong? So Candace is going to offer some insight there. And then our culture segment, we have the author John Bishop here, and he is the author of God Distorted. So we're going to have a great conversation with him about that. And you'll just have to listen to find out what does it mean? What does it mean? How are we distorting God? So you will enjoy that conversation as well. But here we are for our roundtable. And you've heard me say many times on Boundless that if you are a Gen Xer or a member of the millennial generation, you are a product of the largest divorce generation in history, the boomers. Sorry, boomers, if you're listening, but you guys are messed up. So that's just how it is. But we are trying to turn the tide on that. We are trying to re-script our stories and not believe the lies that we were delivered about relationships and how they are going to fail at a moment's notice. And we want to really change the script for our generation of marriages and families. And we have three people in the studio today who are helping us do that because they are all products of a divorced home. We have Austin back in the studio. Welcome, Austin.
Thanks.
He talks about more than finances. If you guys didn't hear that show where he weighs in on that, that's good stuff. He loves spreadsheets, people. So if you love spreadsheets, jump in. That's good. And Jessica is here. Jessica, welcome.
Thank you.
Love your blouse.
Thank
you. Very nice. So, and Danielle is here with us as well. Welcome, Danielle.
Thank you.
Nice to be here. So they all have pretty interesting, I mean, you think, oh yeah, okay, my parents were divorced. But really within that context, very different stories from all of you as to how that played out and what happened. So I want to go ahead and jump in right away. We're going to be hearing kind of your stories woven in as you guys talk, and so that's good. But I want to start out just by asking kind of how, I mean, all of you had different experiences as far as how divorce affected you. At what age? What happened? Your parents, you know, remarried or didn't? I want to just say generally, okay, what, I mean, obviously you're small, as you're a kid, you know, if your parents divorced when you were a kid, you weren't like, yeah, my parents are probably going to get divorced. This is probably going to be my story. This is going to be, but how growing up, was it your normal? I mean, what was life like as you compared your home life and kind of how you grew up and how you viewed your parents' marriage and how it affected the family, comparing it maybe to your peers and what that looked like in your generation? What did you think about it? What did you think, you know, okay, this is normal or this is not okay, or what were your feelings around that?
That's a good question. I think for me personally, I think most of the time I thought it was normal just because it's all that I knew. But I do remember as a high schooler craving to see married couples. Like I was really looking at my youth group leaders because they were an older married couple and going, what does that look like? How do they do that? And how long do they, you know, how do they get together? How do they work through conflict? So I just remember, I think I thought I was normal, but I craved seeing what a real marriage looked like.
Mm-hmm. And I think you said your parents were divorced when you were one.
Yes. Right?
So very small. So it really was all you knew. I mean, that was just your story. And then they have remarried a couple times.
Yes, they did remarry a couple times.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, and I'm the same as Danielle. I thought it was normal. Most of my friends came from divorced parents, but at the same time, I would see the group of kids in high school and middle school whose their parents were still together. And it was like, you know, I always wanted that. But for me, it was normal to be in a divorced, broken home.
Mm-hmm. And my parents divorced when I was about, I think I was 16. So it was a little later. But growing up, they never got along anyway. So it was kind of, and that seemed normal to me that they lived in the same house, but that was it. They never talked or they had different rooms and everything. So I guess.
You even said like they went to different churches.
I went to church with my dad and my mom went with my sister. It was kind of totally split. So I guess I knew it was different, obviously. I saw other parents at church together. But even then, I didn't really think of them getting divorced. And That was my family, and it was normal for me.
Mm-hmm. Now, was there, for the two of you who knew your parents when they were married, I mean, was there any effort to work on the marriage? Did you ever see, like, attempts at conflict resolution or attempts at counseling or saying, we want to make this work? I know, Austin, I think you had maybe said that they wanted to stay together for the kids, I mean, which is a motivator for some, but...
Yeah, and they did counseling as well a couple times, but I don't think it... ever lasted more than a couple sessions. But yeah, also, I mean, just being a part of a church was kind of, even though they didn't go to the same church, I think they both had that thing of not wanting to be divorced.
Mm-hmm. For me, I didn't see any attempt. They never fought in front of us. We didn't even know. It was completely unexpected. It was one day I came home from vacation with my cousin, and all of a sudden, oh, you know, we're divorcing. So I didn't see anything at all, which has made it quite difficult to be married and to learn how to have healthy conflict with my husband.
Yeah. And you were saying you were about 10, right?
Yeah, for
you.
I was okay. 10.
So, Jessica, I know you also mentioned that really the outcome of that and some of the ramifications of that are you really historically struggling with self-esteem. Mm-hmm. Talk to us a little bit about that, about why your parents' decision would have affected you so much.
Well, I know for me, at the time that they divorced, we were already financially struggling. So whenever they did divorce, we just had to go on social services, and, you know, it was a lot more difficult for me to feel like I fit in with other people at school, you know, because at that age, most of my friends' parents were still together and, you know, they had money, they had the ability to do things and have, you know, nice clothes. And for myself, because both of my parents split and they were both having a hard time, you know, I didn't have any of that. And you know, with the new marriages and the new abuse that happened and stuff, it was very detrimental to myself and my brother's self-esteem.
Hmm. Yeah, because I know you said you guys ended up moving around a lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, you kind of have that kind of weird movie storyline of like the going with your mom, you know, living in a trailer, then all of a sudden uprooting, going with your dad. I mean,
exactly.
All over the map. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So I want to turn a corner because obviously, you know, we cannot often change the stories or the scripts that we've been delivered. And certainly our parents and their decisions have an impact on us. But what does it mean to turn that tide and to say, you know, we're going to do this differently? And I want to know, how did the divorces of your parents, and in many instances, multiple divorces, affect the way that you dated? Because you are all married now, Austin being the newest, newlywed, mm-hmm. under a year, right?
Yeah.
Still going strong?
Still going strong.
Good. Yeah. Good. So, but how did it affect the way that you dated when that time came around?
I know for a long time I was saying, I'll never get married. That's a silly thing. I'll never do that. I never want to be in that kind of situation that my parents were. So it was kind of a dichotomy that I never wanted to get married, but yet I was very interested in dating. Mm-hmm. So it was a weird, I want to date you, but I don't trust you. And I want you to love me, but I'm going to push your boundaries because I want to see if you're going to leave me. Mm-hmm. And I want to push them fast because if you're going to get out of here, then let's do it quick. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it made for confused dating, I would say, and confused marriage for a while. We had to work through a lot of issues. And I also had a lot of, I think I have a naturally little bit of a controlling instinct, but in dating, I was very controlling, and in marriage too. I guess I should admit that.
Okay.
But
now,
it took a while.
You married very young.
I did marry very young.
You were like 18.
Yes.
So how in the world did you have the confidence to get married at 18 when you had all these fears?
I don't know. It was a strange dichotomy. I really wanted to be saved. I really wanted to be fixed. I really wanted to be loved. But yet I also was so afraid of marriage and so afraid of it going bad. But I kind of just jumped in.
Okay. And wow, 21 years strong.
21 years strong.
Wow.
For me, I looked a lot. I, like you, I was looking for love. I bounced around from one person to the next. You know, who is strong enough to keep me? I'm a very strong-willed person, and if you're not willing to put up with me, then you can go. And just one day after multiple boyfriends, I met my husband, and there was something about him that I just fell in love with, and that pretty much changed everything.
Now, did you go through a series, Jessica, of questions? I mean, were you like, okay, I need to like vet this guy? I mean, were you kind of like, how do I make sure I'm making the right decision? What was your process there?
You know, my process was I loved him and I really did believe that God wanted me to be with him. Mm-hmm. There was something about him that was inside of me that I couldn't explain, and it was like no other man that I had ever met. Mm-hmm. And I think that was the biggest reason why I stuck with him and I stood by him. And, you know, I'm changing for him as well as he is for me.
Mm-hmm. Can I just say too, at least for me, and it sounds like for you too, there was nobody to vet your potential spouse with. You had your girlfriends, but you didn't really go to your parents because what did they know? Mm-hmm. You didn't want to follow in that example. And even though I have good parents, that wasn't someplace that I sought advice from them.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's tricky. And that's why I think we have so many young adults that really, I mean, why we say here at Boundless, get into a solid church where there are good examples, good mentors, good people that are going to help walk that road with you. I think that's so important.
Yeah. I think that was huge for me. Just, I never really was that close with my parents, maybe partly just seeing how they treated each other, not wanting to be a part of that. But the church that I was going to, I got really connected and had great leaders there that I still talk to frequently, and they call themselves my adopted parents and stuff. And that was really helpful because I would go to them with questions of dating and relationships. So I felt like I always had solid advice through that time.
Yeah. And you also, I mean, talk a little bit, Austin. I know you also felt at one stage a certain measure of rejection from the church as well, feeling like you were the divorced kid and kind of feeling, I mean, how'd you wrestle with that?
Yeah, it was a small church and everyone kind of knew my parents weren't, I mean, obviously just my dad would go to that church. So they knew something was up. But then when they finally divorced, my youth pastor actually kind of asked my dad to leave the church, didn't want him there. And it reflected on me too. A lot of my friends or kids in the youth group didn't really hang out with me as much, as kind of like one of those small town churches is really conservative and just treated you differently after a divorce. So, but I ended up just continuing to go there even after my dad had left, because I had a couple good friends that were there for me, and also just because I like, I don't know, adversity. It's fun being the underdog and trying to overcome those things. So I stayed there out of stubbornness, I think.
Okay, you were an overcomer.
Yeah.
All right. So what about you guys? What have you learned? I mean, obviously you talked about, you know, your parents not being the best examples, and some of you were in and out of church and whatever. But what have you learned about marriage, and where did you learn it? You know, in order to say, I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to do this differently. What have you learned? What have been some of the most important things you've learned?
I think I learned from watching some of the families in our church. And then really I think the thing that saved my husband and I is that we moved away. It was just the two of us. And it was, we've got to look at the Bible and we've got to figure this thing out, because definitely thoughts of divorce came up for both of us. You know, we'd seen it done several times. Things get tough. Should I really stick this out? But the commitment to God is what helped us get through, and just really searching out the Word. And I like how Jim Daly says it, that, you know, it was kind of us going, well, we're gonna be married, so we're either gonna be happy or unhappy, but we're gonna be married. And so we kind of made that choice. And then God, I just have seen how God really has blessed it, though. Now being in the 21 years of marriage, I'm more happy than I was at the beginning. And so I see that God blessed that commitment to stick around.
For myself, it was mostly examples by my husband's family, where my family, pretty much almost everyone has been divorced at least once. My husband's family, the majority of them are still together. And while I grew up knowing that I didn't want to put my children through what I've went through, seeing their examples and how, you know, they know how to work through conflict. They know how to love each other as a family. They don't just give up on each other. You know, I think that's kind of been the biggest part of what's motivated me to stay with my husband and figure out how to work through all of our problems that we have.
So both my parents and my wife's parents are divorced, so we didn't really have many places to look for a good, solid marriage. But again, just the mentors that I had through church really showed me what their marriages were like, and they weren't perfect, which you wouldn't realize right away, but as I got to know them and they were opening up a little bit more, I realized that their marriages weren't perfect. But I think the difference that made their marriages work is just them being more Christ-like, forgiving each other, and realizing they had shortcomings, but working through those. And so I think now that's kind of the one thing that helps us, is just being forgiving and realizing that we're not perfect, but we're committed to the marriage.
Yeah. What would you say your relationships with your parents are like now, and your step-parents? I mean, how do you kind of come back into, I'm sure there's still some crazy there on some levels, and just being like, okay, I don't want that story. I don't want to get caught up in that drama. I don't want, kids, when kids are in the picture, how do you relate, tell their story, in that way? What does that look like going back to that kind of core family relationship now?
My relationship with my parents is pretty good. I have to say, as I got older, I got more brave, and I started asking them questions. Why did this happen? What was this? What was this about? And that wasn't until I was like in my 30s, because our family's kind of we just don't talk about things. So that has helped to kind of be able to talk to them a little bit more and understand. And I think they've both told me on occasion that, they were sad that had happened, that the divorce had happened. But we go on and my dad's remarried, and so I get to know a stepmom and have a different kind of family. So even though there was some pain, it's been good, I think, at least for me, to be able to talk to them a little bit about what happened and why. And even though it's a sensitive subject for them both, to kind of get some of those answers.
For me, I have a great relationship with my dad. I had a great relationship with my mom until she passed away. And I think it was when I was a teenager where, when we started talking through things, and, my parents really were doing the best that they can to help us work through the issues, even though we were in that situation. They understood the ramifications, and they understood what it was doing to us. So they tried to talk to us and help us through it. But, we still had a really good relationship afterwards. Mm.
I think I'm closer to both my parents now than I ever was. I think after they divorced, a lot of the tension was gone out of the house. And then going away to college, I think you always become a little closer to your parents because you're not constantly arguing with them anymore. So, then when we got married, we kind of got away just to get those influences out of our lives. So we live very far away, and that's made things easier as well.
Yeah. So what would you guys say, talking to the single young adult who's listening, who is a product of a divorced home, and maybe they're like, I'm not, like Danielle said, there's no way I'm going to get married. I don't want to do this. Or they really want to get married, but they're fearful that they're not going to be able to do it well. They're fearful that they're going to be just continuing the cycle. What would be your advice to them, both as they start to date and as they look at marriage partners and as they start to evaluate some of those things that have affected their core identity? What are good things for them to know?
I think the most important thing to know is that God redeems. And so you may come from something that was horrible, divorces range. I at least have to say my parents did divorce well. They didn't bicker a lot with each other. But that God can redeem the pain. So I would suggest, trying to figure out where your emotions are, start dealing with some of the feelings that you have inside, because you don't want to take that baggage into a marriage. But also know that God is good, and that you don't have to be fearful. Like I was feeling so fearful about marriage, that God's got a good plan, and there are good marriages out there, and there is, the purpose. I wouldn't say stay away from marriage, but try and deal with some of the stuff that you have some of the emotions so that when you're ready, when God brings the right person, that it can be a lot easier on you.
Yeah, and you know, one thing that's helped me is finding a mentor, someone who is of your parents' generation or grandparents' generation, who has been able to learn how to communicate with your spouse and everything. I definitely don't suggest staying away from from marriage if it's because you're coming from a divorced family. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that even through all of the struggles that my husband and I have had for the past 10 years, you know, it still outweighs the fact of us, you know, never have been together and never having the children and everything. I think that overall, you know, we as humans need human interaction. We need that, you know, companion. And so just, I think, learning how to communicate, learning how to, you know, talk through the problems and everything, and just being dedicated is really what's most important.
Mm-hmm. Did you, Jessica, have moments? I mean, I know Danielle said this, but did you go into marriage and say, I will not get divorced? Or did you have seasons in your marriage where you were like, wow, maybe divorce is going to be my story too?
I went into the marriage saying I will never be divorced. Mm-hmm. But there were those seasons where I was like, are we going to get divorced? Mm. Because it can be very challenging. Mm-hmm. But my husband and I both, you know, even though sometimes we want to give up, mm-hmm. We know deep down that that's not the best way to handle this, mm-hmm. and that we can do better than what my parents did.
Yeah. What about you, Austin? Advice?
Yeah. At 8 months married, I don't know that we've had many struggles. We can still tolerate each other. But I remember when we were doing premarital counseling, we had to read a book by, I think it was Tim Keller. In the first chapter, he said something along the lines of that you're never going to marry the right person. And kind of gave me, relieved a lot of the fears that I had of, is this the right person? Is it going to work out? Am I going to end up like my parents? Mm-hmm. And just realizing that it's more about the commitment you make before God and keeping that. And even as you change, it's still I guess it gave me peace knowing, like, I think my parents struggled with feeling like they should be with someone else, or it would be better if the person didn't act like this. But knowing that whoever you're married to is the one that God chose for you gives me some confidence there.
That's good. Well, we obviously love to celebrate marriage here at Boundless, and we're big fans of it, and we love seeing young adults get there in a way that's biblical and intentional. And I think you guys are great examples of people who have broken the cycle and have chosen. And like you said, I mean, I'm so encouraged to see that you have gone back and repaired those relationships with parents. And, you know, it's not like, you know, Danielle said, you know, God is a restorer, and he is in the business of making good matches. We say that a lot here. So I think your stories really attest to that, and you guys are going strong, and I think there's hope for those of us out there with similar stories. So thanks, you guys, so much for sharing.
Thank you.
Thank you.